Luke chapter 15, we read in verses 4 and 5 of that chapter. We read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." As you read Luke chapter 15, I believe you are reading one of the nuggets of the Bible. Bishop J.C. Ryle, speaking of this chapter, he said, "Few chapters have done more good to the souls of men than this chapter." And I wholeheartedly agree. Here in this chapter, you have four parables, I believe. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost silver, the parable of the lost son, and then the fourth one, the parable of the lost sibling. Now, the backdrop to these verses is found in verses 1 and 2. And here we see Christ in his element, Christ doing what he loved to do, where we find him reaching out to those who were lost, those who were desolate, those who were downcast, those who were downtrodden in society. Verse 1 tells us that publicans and sinners drew near for to hear him preach. Now, the word publican, it simply refers to tax collectors. And in Bible times, you find there were tax collectors who were Jews, but really they changed sides and they worked for the Roman government. And in working for the Roman government, they were essentially viewed by the Jews as traitors. They were known as well for their unfair taxation of the Jewish people. They were hated because of their friendliness with the Romans. And here we find here then the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's preaching, and who's listening to him? Those who really society rejected. There were publicans listening to him, but there are also here in verse 1, we read that there were sinners listening to him. Now the term sinners here, it refers specifically to harlots of those times, and also to great sinners in society. And here we find the Lord Jesus, he's preaching to a crowd. And we find there that in his congregation, there really are the down and outs of society. Harlots and great sinners were found there, and also tax collectors. This was the group of lonely souls who were gathered in Christ's congregation and were willing to hear him preach. Now, as this colourful group gathered together to hear Christ, well, you can imagine the reaction of the Pharisees. They didn't really like this, a group of great sinners listening to Christ preach. And we find that in verse 2, they levelled an accusation against Christ. We read there, the Pharisees, they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." The word sinner, or receiveth here, it means to allow access to oneself. And the Pharisees, they were at an uproar. They couldn't believe that they really were discarded from the crowd, and that Christ was allowing access to himself to this great group of sinners. However, in addressing this great group of sinners, he then proceeded to teach four parables illustrating one simple truth. And that simple truth is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a tender heart towards the lost. And in having that tender heart towards the lost, he then seeks out the lost and he rescues them for their lostness. He goes after and follows after and chases after and eventually rescues those who are lost. You see, whilst Christ is a sinless Saviour, he is also a seeking Saviour. Christ, he seeks and secures those who are lost. And tonight I want you to see yourself just as the lost sheep, as the lost son, as the lost silver, as the lost sibling. I want you to see yourself as lost. I want you to see yourself as wayward, wandering and wayfaring, going your own way, doing your own thing, running from the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet whilst you're running from Christ and running away from Christ, Christ is running towards you. Like the great shepherd here who went after the wayfaring sheep, Christ, he is following hard after you this evening. And he's not going to give up. He's not going to give up until he finds you and rescues you from your lostness. Indeed, in Matthew 18, verse 12, we have a different parable, but with similar content to the one we're considering this evening. We read there, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray?" And the verb here, to go astray, in the original, it's where we get our English word planet. Now you think of a planet. A planet is something that moves. It's something that it runs, or it moves and wanders. And here the sinner is depicted as a sheep which is wandering and moving to and fro. And yet whilst the sheep, it goes out and it wanders and it runs from the shepherd. Yet the shepherd, in realizing that that sheep, that one sheep is lost, he goes out into the mountains to simply rescue that one lost sheep. You see, whilst outside of Christ, you're in the mountains of sin. Christ provides mountain rescue. Like the shepherd, he will travel to wherever you are, and wherever your lostness has taken you, wherever your lost estate has taken you in life this evening, and he'll follow hard after you, and he will not stop until he seeks you and saves you and rescues you from your sin. And so tonight I want to draw your attention very simply to a lost sheep which was found. A lost sheep which was found. Notice firstly here the rambling of the sheep, the rambling of the sheep. For here in this parable, verses 4 to 6, Christ, he speaks of the sheep as wandering or rambling or leaving the flock of the shepherd. If it was a male ram, you would kind of say that the ram, it rambled. It run and it rambled from its shepherd. And here we find the sheep, that's exactly what it's doing. It's rambling, it's running from its shepherd. Here in thinking about this rambling, notice two things. Notice here the cause of rambling. The cause of rambling. Verse 4, we read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now those of you who are sheep farmers, you will know that the sheep is dependent upon the guidance of the shepherd. It looks to the shepherd to lead them in the right direction. They don't really do so well on their own. But you'll also know that when the shepherd calls it's quite really a dumb animal. And it takes an awful long time before it will listen. You can speak to a sheep many, many times and you'll try and direct it, try and steer it. But you know yourself, it goes its own way, it does its own thing. They are an animal which is easily distracted. And sometimes their attention can be diverted by various things. Sometimes it's a gap in the hedge. Sometimes it's a hole in the fence. The sheep, it sees this gap, it sees this hole. It becomes distracted by it and maybe it jumps through the gap or the hole and suddenly it's wandered from the fold. At other times there are large trails or rocks up a mountain that grab the attention of the sheep, again causing it to wander. Sometimes the sheep are a bit like human beings. They get very caught up in what they eat. And sometimes they can get so caught up in what they eat, they forget where they are. And again, they end up separated or wandering from the fold. The point I'm trying to make here is that a sheep is a very, very easily distracted animal. It's prone to wander. It's prone to leave the fold and the shepherd. And like the sheep, whilst man is dirty, man is also easily distracted. Is it not true that you're very, very easily distracted? And there are many things which block out the voice of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, to you. And perhaps maybe recently there have been certain things in your life that have been blocking out the voice of the shepherd. Perhaps it has been possessions. Perhaps it has been your purse. Perhaps it has been the provisions that Christ, the great shepherd, has given you. Is this you? Are you easily distracted by these things? Distracted by gaining, distracted by getting, distracted by living, distracted by loving, distracted by riches, distracted by reserves. And all of these things, they're blocking out the voice of the shepherd. Oh, the shepherd, he wants to steer you into a pasture's green. He wants to lead you beside the still waters. But you haven't been listening. There are things in your life that are distracting you from hearing the voice of the shepherd. Indeed, in Isaiah 53, we read in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You'll notice there the phrase, "everyone turned to his own way." And here Isaiah, he's painting a picture of man. Again, he takes the little illustration of the sheep. Just as the sheep is easily distracted and does its own thing, so he depicts man as doing his own thing and going his own way. And rather than travel the right way, you often, because of your sin, travel your own way. Man has a self-indulgent, self-interested, self-obsessed nature. And therefore he does his own thing. He does not want to be steered and directed and guided by the hand of the tender shepherd. And perhaps like the sheep, you're out rambling this evening. You're out rambling. You're out in the thickets. You're out in the wilderness. You don't want to listen to the voice of the shepherd. You don't want to look at the shepherd as the shepherd would go before his sheep in Eastern times. So you don't want to look to the shepherd for your direction. Is this you? Is God here painting a picture through the sheep of your life this evening? Easily distracted by other things, not doing those things which please God. You know, I once heard of a police officer on television, and he told of tactics that would be often used by thieves. He said, often you'll find thieves, they'll go in to a store and they'll travel in groups. And as they go into a group, you'll find that the vast majority of the group, they'll start a riot or start a disturbance. And that will grab the attention of the clerks and the customers. And what will happen is one or two will just go from the crowd. And whenever everybody else is looking at the crowd and focusing on the crowd and the disturbance, that's when the other one or two, they'll go to the cash register, the till, whatever it might be, and they'll fill their pockets. And sometimes policemen have said that it's hours and even days and sometimes even weeks before a shopkeeper realizes that things are missing. And then, of course, it's too late. It's too late. And of course, they do that by creating a distraction. I wonder this evening, has Satan the great thief, is he creating distractions in your life? Bringing certain things along your path. Certain things which are maybe okay in themselves, but he's distracting you with them. And he's grabbing your attention. He's distracting you from thinking about Christ. Thinking about him coming for you, living for you, dying for you, eventually rising for you, and now being seated for you. Are you distracted? Distracted by certain things? The cause of rambling. Notice also here the consequence of rambling. Verse 4, we read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it?" Interestingly, the word "lost" there is translated in John 3:16 as "perish." It means to be lost, to be ruined, to be destroyed. And of course, when the sheep, when he wanders from its protector, from his shepherd, is that not what happens? He then becomes ruined, or he becomes lost, he becomes destroyed. Sometimes when the sheep is all out on its own and maybe out in a mountain or a lofty or wild terrain, he then gets caught in the thickets, or perhaps in the mountain he gets lost. And nobody reaches that sheep, that poor lost sheep, in time. And then that sheep perishes. That sheep, it gets destroyed. Sometimes when the sheep is left on its own, you'll find that wild beasts will get to it before the tender shepherd does, again ruining it or consuming it. And all of this because it wandered away from the shepherd. Its wandering causes it to become lost or destroyed or perish altogether. And without the protection of Christ as your shepherd, your life is hopeless, but your death is most certainly horrendous. Your wandering will only take you to a Christless hell, just as the sheep without Jesus or without its shepherd perishes. So this evening, you as a wandering, wayfaring sheep, if you do not trust in the protection that the shepherd offers to you this evening, you will be taken to a place where you will eternally perish, and you will be destroyed in the thickets of hell. And Satan will send his wild beasts, and they will literally devour you. Oh, that I could press home to you the lostness and the end of your lostness, the end of your lost condition before God. Oh, that I could really push that home to you with all the gumption that God would give me. The lostness of the soul. The eternality of what it means to be lost. To fall forever and never, never, as it were, reach the bottom. To fall into the bottomless pit of hell. And in Revelation, we read in that book that you find that God, he reveals the end times to us through cycles. And in Revelation 8 to 11, you have the third cycle of the book of Revelation. A cycle always climaxes with the picture or a portrait of the coming of Christ. And in this third cycle, you find that seven trumpets have blown. And after the fifth trumpet is blown by the angel, you read in Revelation 9 verses 2 and following, speaking here of Christ, we read, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And there came out of that smoke locusts upon the earth, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. When you read the background to that, you discover that John there, he sees a vision of those who are protected by Christ. Those who have the seal of God upon their forehead. Those who will not experience what he said will happen. And here we find the Lord Jesus. He opens hell, the bottomless pit. There's smoke that comes out of the pit. And we find that after the smoke, you see there locusts coming. And these locusts, they come and they bite those that do not have the seal of God upon their forehead. And we read there that they will be tormented 5 months. And their torment will be as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Just as the scorpion's tail goes and strikes an individual and poisons that individual to their death. So we find that those who are not protected by the seal of God, they will be struck by hell's legions. And they will be stung to their death. And outside of the shepherd, whilst there is no peace, there also is no protection. You tonight, outside of Christ, you are lost and perishing. Christ is that protection, that seal, that shield to his people. He protects them from the bottomless pit, from the judgment of hell. But yet there will be those, and they will, like the lost sheep, they will perish. They will wander throughout life. And eventually they will perish in hell. You see, really, you really only have two choices. It's either the protection of the shepherd or perishing in hell. That is your choice that I set before you tonight. Parris Reidhead, a fundamentalist preacher of a bygone age, he was preaching to a congregation and he asked them a question that night. He asked them, put up your hands if you've ever been lost. Nobody put up their hands. Then he asked the second question. He said, how many of you have ever been saved? Everybody in that congregation put their hands up. And he stood to them and he said, what? None of you have ever been lost, yet all of you are saved. It doesn't make sense. And the point he was trying to make is this, that until you feel your lostness, until you see your lost destination, hell, then you will never realize the safety, the security that you have in Christ. Oh, see yourself as lost, like the sheep perishing, lost without the shepherd. A.T. Robertson said, there's nothing more helpless than a lost sheep, except a lost sinner. And that is exactly right. Nothing more lost. Get that into your head. Nothing more lost than nothing more pitiful than a lost sheep. Except a lost sinner. Oh, see your lostness. See your lostness this evening. As the sheep, see yourself as a poor, rambling, bleating sinner, perishing in the mountains of sin. The rambling of the sheep. But notice secondly here, the rescuing of the sheep. Because Christ, he didn't stop there. As he had that tremendous congregation of down and outs before him, he pressed home the lostness of the sinner. But he then proceeded to show how lost sinners could be rescued like the sheep. Notice here two things again in the rescuing of the sheep. Notice that the sheep was sought. It was sought. Verse 4 we read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Here the shepherd is depicted as with his flock. They are already in the wilderness, and it seems that they are quite safe and quite secure with his guidance. They are feeding perhaps beside a river, and they know they are safe. The shepherd knows that as long as they stick together, they will be safe where they are. But then as he sees the flock, he realizes that there's one missing. Just one missing. And what does the shepherd do in this parable? Verse 4 tells us he go after that which is lost until he find it. In other words, he didn't stop. Yes, he might have gone up into the mountains and maybe not have even known that terrain all that well. But the shepherd, he risks his own life when he realizes one of his flock is lost. He could not, nor dare he not, stop until he had sought and found and rescued the lost sheep from the flock. And whilst you are the sinner, Christ is the seeker. Christ is the one who will seek you when you're wandering from his fold. And the beauty about Christ is that he'll not give up. Like the shepherd who goes after that which is lost until he has found that lost sheep, so this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is pushing after you. He's pressing after you. He's seeking after you, searching for you, until eventually he will secure you and rescue you from your perishing. You feel yourself like the lost sheep, just out in the mountains, wild and bare, outside of the tender shepherd's care. I believe Christ is seeking you. He's going after you this evening, and he'll not stop until he finds you. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think this is beautiful, a lovely depiction of Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 20, "The God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And the Lord Jesus Christ has many wonderful titles in the Bible. Here we find one of them, the shepherd of the sheep. The one who leads the sheep and does all he can to secure and rescue the sheep. You see, whilst the sprinter is the sinner, the saviour is the shepherd. He will sprint after you and will not leave you until he rescues you. Oh, as the shepherd would hunt down the sheep and not stop night and day until he had found it. Just one lost sheep. Maybe others would have just forgotten about it. Perhaps other hirelings wouldn't have really cared about it. But the shepherd knows the sheep and loves the sheep and goes after that which is lost until he finds it and until he rescues it. Oh, this evening, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, he's seeking you. And he will not stop until he will find you. You who are perishing in a lost, shepherdless hell, Christ is on the run and on the lookout for you. Oh, what a saviour you have. What a saviour you have. One who will press out home and press home after you until he finds you. There was a woman who was talking to her husband. They were discussing the tickly issue of the mother-in-law coming to move in with them. And she said, "Dear, if my mother's going to come and live with us, well, we'll have to find and move to a bigger house." And the husband simply replied, "Well, dear, that's true. But you do realise, though, that sooner or later, that eventually she'll find us and find us where we live." But without or with Christ as a shepherd, he eventually will find you. He will seek after you until he finds you. The sheep was sought, but notice also here the sheep was secure. In verse 5 we read, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." When the shepherd ran up to the sheep and had found it, after he had been searching for it night and day, what did he do? He threw it on his shoulders. He threw it on his shoulders. He saw that poor lost sheep, maybe helpless, maybe not even enough strength to walk, not enough strength to walk back to the fold. The shepherd recognized that. Recognized that he had no strength of himself. And lifted his sheep, threw the sheep on his shoulders, and carried the sheep home. You see, the shepherd ultimately is responsible for the sheep. It is, after all, his sheep. And he obligates himself to see it safely home. Here we find the sheep, no strength of itself, and it's leaning upon his shepherd to see him safely home. And having caught you, Christ will then carry you. He will place you upon his shoulders and carry you safely home to heaven. And this evening you might be thinking, "Well, if I am like the lost sheep and I'm wandering in the wilderness, there's no way that I could find home myself. No way that I could get to heaven myself. Perhaps I'll come to Christ, but I don't have the strength to go on. I'll stumble, I'll fall. I'm like a sheep. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the fold." And that's exactly right, you are. But here the Lord Jesus is showing you that whenever you come to him, he takes complete and he obligates himself to take complete control of your salvation. He's the one who throws you on his shoulders and will take you safely home to heaven. Whenever you feel like you haven't the strength to go on, you have wandered from the fold, the Lord Jesus is that tender shepherd. He will carry you safely home. Then in Genesis 28, you read of Jacob going to Padan Aram to find a wife. And whilst on his way, God spoke to him one night in a dream. And as he spoke to him, he said in Genesis 28, verse 15, "As Jacob there was in a wilderness, heading to Padan Aram to find a wife, we read there, 'And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.'" And he essentially promised him that no matter where he would go, he would keep Jacob and eventually bring him to the promised land. And having salvaged you, Christ will then sustain you. He will carry you and bear you along life's journey. The Lord will not leave you alone. Leave you lonely, leave you rambling throughout the wilderness of this world. No, he will keep you by his power. When you feel like you can't go on, and there are times, and you know it, believer, there are times when you don't feel like just going on, you feel like giving up. The tender shepherd will then throw you up in his arms, and he will bear you safely at home. The rambling of the sheep, the rescuing of the sheep. But notice thirdly and quickly, the rejoicing over the sheep. Verses 5 and 6 we read, "When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." As soon as the shepherd had the sheep on his shoulders, he began to rejoice. Didn't even wait till he got home or to the fold. As soon as he saw that sheep, he began to rejoice. Rejoice that he had found his lost sheep, his missing, misplaced, meandering sheep. And eventually he carried it home. And in this parable, we're told, he then called his neighbours together, and he asked them to rejoice with him too. The shepherd rejoiced over the rescuing of one lost sheep. And heaven is not characterised by sadness. Heaven is characterised by gladness. when you are rescued and retrieved by the great shepherd of the sheep, there is great rejoicing in heaven. That's what the application of this parable really is. You find it there, verse 7. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And if you come and turn from your sin, and you look to the shepherd to carry you safely home to heaven, there will be rejoicing in heaven, in the presence of the angels. Rejoicing, I believe, by none other than Christ himself, over one sinner that repenteth. The lost sheep which was found. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives this evening.